The 75th anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor marked today is a turning point in the history of an event beset by controversy. In the new book, A Matter of Honor, Pearl Harbor, Betrayal, Blame, and a Family's Quest for Justice, Pulitzer Prize finalist Anthony Summers and Robin Swan present an analysis with new evidence. They focus specifically on what they see as the scapegoating of Admiral Husband Kimmel, the then Commander-in-Chief of the U.S. Pacific Fleet, treatment Vice President Joe Biden has called the greatest injustice in U.S. military history. Again, the name of their book is A Matter of Honor, and it is a pleasure to welcome Anthony Summers and Robin Swan to the roundtable this morning. Anthony, let us begin with you of what brought you to this subject and specifically wanting to look at Admiral Husband Kimmel.
It was curious. It's strange, isn't it, how luck, chance plays a role in certainly in reporting work and in, as in life as a whole. We had previously done a major investigation of 9/11, which worked very well for us. And 9/11, of course, is the only comparable event of an attack on U.S. soil other than the Pearl Harbor attack. And we found ourselves two or three years ago, making a routine phone call to a former FBI agent. And at the end of the conversation, he said, I've given you what information I could on this completely unrelated matter, but I'm rather disappointed because I was hoping you were calling me about my grandfather, Admiral Kimmel, who was commander-in-chief at Pearl Harbor in 1941. And we knew nothing about Pearl Harbor or his grandfather, and Tom Kimmel Jr. told us about his grandfather's fight and the family's fight ever since to restore Admiral Kimmel's reputation, which had been terribly badly damaged when he was made to bear the brunt of the blame for the surprise attack on Pearl Harbor. And so we started from there, although, of course, working independently. The book is the result. We came to the conclusion that, as the family indeed has claimed, that all the evidence indicates that Kimmel, as commander-in-chief of the U.S. Navy in Hawaii at the time, and the then Army chief, Lieutenant General Short, had indeed been made scapegoats, and that the many members of the top brass in Washington should in fact also have carried major blame.
Husband Kimmel, as you mentioned, commanded the U.S. Pacific Fleet at Pearl Harbor and after lived out his life under this cloud of disgrace, was removed from his post, accused of dereliction of duty. Robin, this obviously paid a personal toll. When do you think the pendulum started to move in the other direction and people started to look at this man differently?
In the immediate aftermath of the attack, there was a lot of finger-pointing. And the fact that Kimmel and Short were so quickly isolated, relieved of command, and made to shoulder the burden of the blame actually spurred President Roosevelt's enemies to almost begin immediately to look for other possible individuals who may have done wrong. Now, unfortunately, that had the effect of really turning this story toward one of conspiracy. There are final victims in the Pearl Harbor story are Admiral Kimmel and General Short, but also the reputation of President Roosevelt, because those enemies turned this into the idea that President Roosevelt must somehow have allowed the attack to happen, that there had been advanced intelligence that had given the Americans forewarning of the attack, and that Roosevelt and the men closest to him had allowed the fleet to take that hit in order to get the U.S. into the Second World War.
That's the slur, the political slur. That is still foremost in many American memories. And we found the allegation against Roosevelt on all the evidence, and we trawled very deep indeed. We found it to be entirely baseless.
The thing that surprised me, there were 9 official investigations and extraordinary challenges for Kimmel. And you write, Anthony, that he fought until he died to clear his name, and then his family took up the cause.
Yes. Admiral Kimmel wanted to be court-martialed. He tried militarily, because in that way he would have the ability to have a defense attorney and to have a proper trial. And he felt confident that on the evidence, on the hard evidence, that he would emerge innocent. But he was never given the privilege of having a trial, and there were various investigations, I think 9 in all, and one of them, the most pertinent to him, the Naval Court of Inquiry, found him completely blameless. And that, of course, was held, though, in secret during the war, and therefore, although it eventually got press, all the other investigations and the blur of stories about the case left him in the public eye in permanent disgrace. And he fought to try to get more information, worked on and on as an old man into his 80s, trying to clear his name. And afterwards, the family itself is interesting because they have a strong military tradition and, in a sense, old-fashioned, but in a good way, people of great integrity and huge commitment to their grandfather's name. The sons fought on for their father's innocence, and now the grandsons are fighting on. And indeed, this weekend, when a statue will be unveiled here in Kentucky to Admiral Kimmel, because it's his hometown, the sons will be there making public their case for restoring his original 4-star admiral's rank, which was taken from him as soon as his disgrace was made public.
Robin, it is worth noting that Vice President Joe Biden has called Kimmel's treatment the greatest injustice in U.S. military history, which is indeed saying a lot, isn't it?
Indeed it is, and Vice President Biden seems to be of a similar mind today. The Kimmel family continues to hope that before President Obama leaves office, he might, with a little nudge from the vice president, actually take the action that Congress recommended back in 2000 and make the required recommendations to return Admiral Kimmel and Lieutenant General Short to those ranks they held during the war.
He has been called by admirals and those in the Secretary of Navy's office a necessary scapegoat. Is a scapegoat still necessary?
Certainly not. I think the American people would say that if both houses of Congress had said, and 36 of Kimmel's peers, people who had been as high as Chief of Naval Operations and numerous former commanders-in-chief like him of the U.S. Pacific Fleet, have said that the wrong should be righted. And I think what would concern the American people and what would be in the best American tradition would not be so much to pick holes in the reputations of others long dead, but to correct the completely unjust slur that was put on Admiral Kimmel and General Short.
When you look at this anniversary of Pearl Harbor, what do you hope Americans think about on this day and how we move forward and the legacy of this momentous event?
The critical issue, of course, is that we must remember the young men who died, 2,403 men, women, and children. And Admiral Kimmel said of them that they were fine, upstanding young men who, at the time of Pearl Harbor attack, showed themselves to be resourceful and brave and lived up to the best traditions of American fighting men. They, of course, must be at the heart of any remembrance now. But I think we as Americans also have to look at how our intelligence organizations and our military respond to threats. Do they have the ability to actually understand the intelligence they're gathering? They mustn't suffer from the failure of imagination that affected the people around Washington in 1941, or in fact, that affected the people in Washington in 2001. it is a failure of imagination to underestimate one's enemy and not reason all the time what is the enemy, what might he do? Not only what you think he will do, but what might he do? What could he do?
I think the bottom line in a world that is full of conspiracy theory, not least about Pearl Harbor, that this is not a story about conspiracy. It is a story rather about screw-up, mess-up, failure to use intelligence properly. That all happened in Washington, not in Pearl Harbor. Kimmel testified to Congress as early as 1946 that history, with the perspective of the long tomorrow, will enter the final directive in my case. I'm confident of that verdict. Well, I think 75 years later, the long tomorrow has come.
The name of the book, A Matter of Honor, Pearl Harbor, Betrayal, Blame, and a Family's Quest for Justice. The authors, Anthony Summers and Robin Swan, published by Harper. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.